This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's on.
You ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
I should know it's on.
It's on.
Hey, Alexis.
Alexis? Oh, that's the wrong. Hey, you ain't even gonna answer back.
I'm Android, so I don't even know.
You definitely got Alexis.
RG, got a question for you.
Yes,
how you
sir.
Doing?
Yes, sir. I'm great.
Been struggling with myself on frustration.
Okay.
Right? And so I was like, man, what am I frustrated about? And so I heard this, and it was a great question, which is, what are we doing and how are we dealing with ourselves, or maybe with God, when we're sitting in his waiting room?
That's good.
And the reason I say that is, if we're immature enough, we can hear a delay as a denial. So my question to you is, how are you handling waiting in God's waiting room?
The first thing that comes to mind is it exercises a lot of patience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exercises a lot of patience because you are literally in the middle of whether it's something you asked for, whether it's something you're waiting on. Yes, you mentioned waiting room. Whether it's something you're waiting on or waiting for, or something to manifest is such a buzzword right mm-hmm. now, but you're waiting for something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It is that gap where it is, all right, I know what either I'm trying to attain or whether I'm trying to get to, but I haven't accomplished it yet, or I don't even see an inkling of it happening yet. So what do you do mm-hmm. in that middle portion? And that middle, I've always found, is where you typically get refined. It's where you get pruned.
Yep.
It's where it's typically where the best version of yourself eventually comes forth. It's also the part that, if I'm being real, completely sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It completely sucks because you're literally right there in the middle. The cool part, though, is when you look back, you tend to see, man, I came from something either really bad or something I didn't like or something I didn't enjoy. And you're not where you want to be, but you got to appreciate it. So I'll say all that to where, to answer your question, oh, it definitely sucks. No doubt about it. But it's also when I go back and I think about it, it's also – I can point out specific times in my life where it made me better. And mm-hmm. that's the part that matters.
Truth be told, and to be totally honest, most of us don't like waiting,
mm-mm.
particularly waiting on something to change or something to get better. Waiting, sometimes we could be very frustrated with the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And God is causing us
mm-hmm.
to wait, because sometimes it's not we're not asking the right way or we're not praying the right way. Sometimes I'll give it – this is the best analogy I can do.
Illustrate.
I'll give you the best illustration.
Mm-hmm.
You remember back in the day, you go to the DMV or you go to the old butcher or the corner store and you got to pull a ticket?
You got to get the real ticket, not the board. You're talking about the actual ticket.
You got to get the ticket, mm-hmm. and then there's a little, the dots mm-hmm. and the numbers. And say, let's just say – Your ticket 515
mm-hmm.
or 8,
yeah.
Whatever number. Which number do you want?
And what, 257.
257.
And what is the counter on, like 4?
That's a go.
Right.
That's really a,
gonna
that's
be
a
here
TV
for,
show.
Going to be here right. for a while.
Counter's on 250.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I'm 255.
Uh-huh.
Okay. My show, so I get to leapfrog you.
Okay.
Okay.
Whatever you do. Check still come on Friday?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm good.
So they're on 253.
Yeah.
Now, when we leapfrog and we try to get in front of 253, think about this. 257 is Gerard.
Mm-hmm.
He's just getting a checkup.
Yep.
255 is getting I don't have it, but I'm using it, an asthma inhaler refill.
Mm-hmm.
But 253 is getting a heart transplant.
Mm.
You go on, jump your ass in line early, and you go in as 253 because you stole his ticket.
Yeah.
And now you got to get a heart transplant and don't even realize it.
Right.
But all you really went in there for, man, I just want some oxygen in my inhaler.
Yeah.
Or I want to get a checkup.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to understand that God is delaying it because we're not ready for really what's in there. Yeah. 253 is getting a heart transplant, but you didn't jump the line. And so
you disrupted the order.
You disrupted the order. Now your healthy heart
is
now about to be ripped out and you're about to get a different heart. And somebody will say, well, God's giving us this heart. But the point is, when you get a heart transplant, there's a process.
Yeah.
There's a process of, are you the right blood type?
Mm-hmm.
Are you the right age? How do you know 253 isn't a 50-year-old man who's been a smoker, who all they're trying to do, it is not even a fully operating heart. It is a heart that now is applied with a pacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
So now at 42 years old, I can't run anymore. I can't play any sports. Now I'm just, I've jumped the line because I'm impatient. Yeah. Because a delay.
You took it as a denial.
As a denial.
Yeah. That's good, man.
So I realized in this process of life that, one, I have to have a life of gratitude, better life of gratitude. And also, I got to start realizing that while I'm in God's waiting room, that I need to be appreciative and understanding why God has me in that waiting room.
Man, that's good. What time you stream on Sundays? I need some of this. 9:30? 11:30? I need to tune in for this.
I appreciate that.
We about to launch this. Ain't that right, backstage? We're going to launch this.
G4?
Crush the numbers. Crush the numbers. Right.
Well, I just wanted to tell you, I've struggled and I thought about, you know, life is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the week, day of the week and the time, it varies. But I also try to encourage and want to be more encouraged and want to be less. I'm a guy who says, a glass half empty means I'm halfway thirsty.
Yeah.
But really just appreciating that sometimes God is only putting half of the liquid in the cup.
You ain't ready to get the rest.
You ain't ready to get the rest.
That's good.
Because you know why? Sometimes your bladder can handle it, right? But you don't
True,
know.
Though. So. Facts.
Yeah. Hey, who we got?
Coming up on the Cut To It podcast, we've got Spice Adams, a social media star, comedian, actor, and TV host. But not many people even know he was an 8-year veteran in the NFL for the 49ers and the Bears. Spice Adams on the Cut To It podcast. Spice, man, welcome to the Cut To It podcast. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm chilling like a villain on penicillin, baby.
Penicillin? Ooh. Ooh, that could be good or bad.
Hey, I'm in a cut like peroxide.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, this is going to be... This is
well,
gonna
don't
be
cough on nobody.
Start a fist fight.
All right, so our first segment is called Get Iced Up.
Yep.
There may be follow-ups to these questions. There may not be.
Oh, there's going to be selected, some follow-ups.
They've been selected at random. I don't even know what's happening. So, Smitty, go ahead and give Spice the first one.
All right, so Spice, on the Ice Up questions, they are random.
Yes.
They have no rhyme or reason.
I love it.
So who or what is your favorite character or skit that you do?
One of the old head uncles.
Yeah.
You know, that always got the cigarette in the side of the mouth.
And the Bluetooth. Got to have the Bluetooth.
Yeah. And the Bluetooth.
Come on, like cousin Rick.
I'll put a carburetor for you.
Oh, I'll put that carburetor on there for you. Right.
Carburetor. Anything you got going on, he got some experience with. Like, man, I tore my PCL and my CCL at the same time.
And he only worked for like a 6-pack of beer.
Yeah. But that's why it never works.
Right.
It only lasts for a couple of months.
Right.
Oh, you broke your finger, man. I got carpal tunnel syndrome, man. That's why I can't type. And so I feel the same pain.
Man, my daughter loves you. And her favorite one is just that. And every time you say, what you say now, Chuck, like when the Bluetooth isn't working, she loses it. Like if it wasn't for the fact that she had remote learner right now, she'd be here because she loves.
Not Chuck.
We're saying not Chuck.
They're always laughing. They got that distinct laugh that you can hear like from around the corner. First of all, you can smell them before you see them because they got the jupe on. Something crazy.
The stuff they sell everywhere. And why is it always blue?
And he masking it because he been smoking Newports too.
Yeah.
He definitely been smoking Newports. Coos.
No. Virginia Slims.
Oh, Paul Mall.
Virginia Slims, Paul Mall, Benson and Hedges.
Hey, Sarah, what you smoke again?
Our assistant, I mean Sarah, our sound, she smokes healthy cigarettes. Yeah, what cigarettes?
They organic cigarettes, Spice. Yeah. Have you ever heard of that before? They vegan cigarettes.
American Spirit.
American Spirit. Okay, them the low cost joints, right?
They're expensive.
Them the Kirkland brand, right?
Gluten free.
Yeah, hey, hold on. Hey, she smoke with the cigarette holder? That'd be like way out there.
Just the Jessica Rabbit joint.
No, not Jessica Rabbit. That's from Dalmatians.
Corella DeVille.
I'm gonna get those pesky dogs. I'm gonna get them. So, question two.
Yeah, we only got three more questions.
I know. All right, Spice. Listen. Now, you know you're a big dude, or you used to be bigger.
Yeah.
You still dark skinned, so I'm light skinned, so I gotta throw that shade. So what part of your body could use a little bit more lotion?
Lotion is for suckers.
So you are all ashy?
I don't listen. Listen, man. Let God do his work. Hey. All right, if you ashy, be ashy, man.
No.
I'm tired of people like boisterous. Look at my elbows, dog.
Listen.
This is years and years of work of no lotion, dog.
Spice, how are you that ashy and you're sweaty?
Dog, when I sweat, it's just like lubrication. It's like
it's
precipitation, bro. So like, it's greatness.
You spell
this. In my body.
That's not just one body part. He's completely ashy.
I take a shower, I dry off, and I dip. I'm out.
It's dangerous, bro. Man.
I'm not spending the extra 10 minutes getting in the crevices. Like, no. Crevices.
You put a pair of jeans on. It's a
I got crevices. I'm a big dude. You know what I'm saying? I got rolls.
You got rolls.
I got insulation. Yeah.
You know, without lack of insulation, Lee Moe.
Right. Fire starter.
All right. That's the right elbow. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You see it.
What would you rather have? An eye in the middle of your head?
An eye in my head.
Or two noses.
He answered that quick.
Or two noses.
No, I gotta have an eye, man. Two noses, man. I'm gonna be fat again. I'm gonna be like, dang, what's that smell? Two noses? I couldn't do it.
One of them running too.
Like, what else are you gonna see with an eye in the middle of your head? That you wouldn't see with your regular two.
You can see something coming before it actually comes.
Was that your third eye? Because now you
see what I'm saying? It gives you a different type of vision, dog.
You go,
Now you imagine these eyes sleep, right? But the other eyes like.
Yeah. So you always got one eye on somebody.
See what I'm saying? He on the lookout. He like, I know my boys down there sleep, but I gotta be on the lookout, baby.
But with three eyes, you still get your ass whooped.
It can happen.
I didn't see it.
Pop that one at the top. The other two might be like they might be out of commission, dog.
Could you be cockeyed with three?
Absolutely.
You could. Dang.
Yeah, it's
there's no way you could be cockeyed.
Yeah, you
with
can.
Three eyes.
Listen, in COVID has taught me there's a lot of things that can happen
right.
That ain't supposed to happen.
This is the best one yet.
All right. So I heard you don't curse.
Correct.
So let's just say, so how would you curse someone out without using a curse word?
Man, you seen a coach that don't curse. Man, right. Shut the front door.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get you. Dog.
Goodness gracious. God almighty. Man, you seen them coaches, man, who don't curse.
Yeah.
Oh, Santa Claus.
Where's the other way? Oh, gosh darn it.
Laughing is good
for Steve, I know you don't curse no more, man. You media train. I done seen you on NFL Network. They never bleep out anything you do.
I don't know. You watch the same network I am, guys.
Now I've calmed it down.
You started.
How come you always getting into it with Michael Irvin?
What'd you say?
What you say? You know what I said?
All right, so here's the rundown on the whole Michael Irvin thing.
Yeah. Okay. That's what the people
want to
know.
The people
want to
know.
It's so, Spice Adams.
So here's what happened. So when we were obviously in studio and all that stuff.
Take your time, Steve.
Oh, I'm going to take my time. It's my show.
I want to hear the real, baby.
Oh, so we were, Irv is from Florida. Lives in Texas. So we were, I kind of asked him a question about his outfits. And he gave me an answer that I was like, oh, cool. And so I had been making fun of him, kind of, messing around because he wears some flamboyant ones.
Yes.
And so Michael Irvin, said something about mine. And I had kind of had a conversation with him on who was doing my outfits.
I remember this.
Okay. And mama, wifey, picks out a lot of my stuff. Because if it was me, I'm going to tell you right now, bro, I'd be wearing like 3 or 4 colors only. Gray, black, red.
Dang. So you're saying you ain't got no style?
I have style, but when it comes down to it, I'll just go with what I feel like. And for me, my go-to is, man, let me just throw on a red hat.
You play it safe.
Yeah.
Play it safe.
I play it safe. Yeah. I throw on a gray suit, black shirt.
Basic foundational colors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, to the point that people that do my suits, they're like, all right, we got enough of these colors. We need to pick some different ones. Step
outside. All right now. I'm going to do it, but all right now.
Yeah. So, and so he would joke around and I was still a new guy. So I was, I was how it is in the locker room.
Yeah.
So I'm the young pup. And so I got to take my lickings and keep on ticking. But basically, after the conversation, I felt like since we had a dialogue, like suits was off, clothes were off the table.
Yeah.
And he brought it up on air.
There
we go.
And say so no more. I responded on air.
Gotcha.
I responded the way I really felt.
I understand now. It all makes sense now.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
We had a private conversation, and then you bring it on. So I'm a guy, if you clown me on air,
the retribution was on
air. I'm going to clown you back on air.
There you go.
If you trip me, we on air and you playing games, then I say, okay, the game playing begins when we're on air. I'm not going to do it off air. No. I'm going to do it on air. And so that's what it was. And so when he said it, it had been like 2 or 3 weeks that he kept kind of jabbing at me. And I'm just like, bro, if you don't stop this.
One more again.
And I said one more again in my head. And then he said, and I was like, no.
Gloves off.
But the way I said it, people missed it, is I didn't say I was going to do it. I said, when I come to L.A., I'm going to do it. So that means I'm going to take this mental note, put it in my back pocket. Then when I'm on the plane to L.A., take that note out, because I'm from L.A. I'm back home. Okay, go to Martha's, get me a burrito from the spot, go see my grandma, go see my uncle. And, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
While I'm here.
Almost forgot. Welcome. It's no to-do list.
Mine as well.
So look, let me get my bag. Okay, bag. All right. Rental car, check. Boom. Go and get my food, check. Holler at my boys, check. Uh-huh. Let's roll over there, check.
Dude, this is awesome. Ain't nobody getting this nowhere else, man.
No.
Yeah, so that's what it was.
If you go to YouTube, man, it is like a back and forth compilation they got of you and Michael Irvin.
I know.
And I watched the whole entire thing, dog.
I just wanted all the
several smoke. Times.
The thing is, Spice has played against me and knows me.
Yes.
I wasn't joking.
No.
You wasn't joking.
So that's why I asked you the question. Because I know how you is.
And so, but it also was a great reminder. It's like, hey, we got to grow up.
Yeah.
We got to change how we approach things. And the really cool thing about Irv, though, is Irv does challenge me. He does make me think outside of the box. Irv has the gift of the gab. Irv is a very, he is a smart man.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. However, it was a little bit of, you know, young wide receiver, old wide receiver, he the OG. And, yeah. and I've always respected Irv, and that's kind of why I responded the way I was, because I do have so much respect for him. Mm-hmm. And I felt at that time it was a personal attack.
I got you.
And when you believe somebody you look up to and you mentor it, that mentors you and you inspire, you aspire to some degree have some remnants of, like, hey, I hope I could be considered idolized. Yeah. You know, I want to be able to consider myself in the same category of Irv as far as statistically and playing.
Yeah.
And so I kind of was like, bro, like, you know, I'm almost 40 years old. Like,
why are you coming at me like this?
Yes.
Right now?
And then it ain't you coming at me.
Oh, you're talking about when that happened. Because
I'm talking about when it happened. So I'm
like, now you're like 50.
Yeah. And so that's why it's like, and I kind of was like, man, I don't know what I did that you want to do it on the air.
Right.
So it kind of made, I was, you know, to some
degree. You felt disrespected.
Yes. Yeah, some people say, oh, Steve was in his feelings. Mm-hmm. I wasn't in my feelings. I felt pretty much disrespected because of, and I still haven't went into detail, and I won't go into detail. We had an in-depth conversation, a private conversation, which I thought, and it would let
me, squared away.
And which led me to say, hey, I won't make fun of Irv because of the conversation we had. Mm-hmm. And then when he said it on camera, like 2 weeks later, I'm like, this ninja tried me.
Hey, Steve.
Yes.
Look, check this out, dude. Like, I'm fresh off the field, dog. Like, I still got mud in my fingernails.
Yes.
I had a tryout for Big Ten Network, right? They gave me this CD. They said, okay, Ohio State, Indiana game. They said three plays that you think, like, we're game changers, whatever. So I was like, all right, cool. I got it. All right. So it's like me and Mike Hall. Mike Hall, like, oh, man, we're going to have so much fun, dude. Like, let's do it. Boom. We're on air. 3, 2, 1, action. Go. So Mike says, okay, welcome to Big Ten Network. I got a special guest, Spice Adams. Then, boom, let's go to the highlights. I thought we was going to go back and forth and all that. So I'm like, dang. All right. So it's all on me. I noticed, like, as I'm talking, I'm the one going through all of the highlights. So I'm like, dang, it's really all on me. All right, so I nailed that part because all they asked me to do was to do three plays. So I did those plays. I said all the stuff I was gonna say, whatever, whatever. So then, like, right after that, he's like, so what do you think about Purdue's offensive coordinator? And I was like, what?
That is not what we talked about.
That's that oh moment.
This is what I'm saying in my head. But, like, coming, like, what I'm saying is, like, ah, oh, man, I think their offensive coordinator is cool. You're talking about an old boy, right? But in my mind, I'm like, dog, y'all said Ohio State, Indiana. Like, I don't know nothing about Purdue. You can ask me something about Ben Roethlisberger. You can ask some NFL quarterbacks. But Big Ten, I know 0%. 0% of what you're talking about. So to make a long story short, I straight bombed, dog, like none other. And they taped everything. Then he was like, hey, man, what do you think about the defensive coordinator from Northwestern? I was like, man, what they should do is hire me. You know what I'm saying? Get everybody in line. We run some gassers, da-da-da-da. So I just started just saying anything, bro, just like the random questions he was asking. I was just giving random answers that had nothing to do with the question he was talking about, but I straight up bombed, dog. So I can understand what you're saying. Like, sometimes you get caught off guard and you just like, bro. But the thing is, you and Irv got a relationship, bro.
Yeah.
And so when he says something like that, it's different when it comes from somebody that you figure that's your mentor. Like, this your homeboy. Like, y'all been through some of the same things.
Co-workers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So when he said that, I know you was like, but the thing is, at least you responded that way.
Yeah.
By feeling disrespected, because sometimes people feel disrespected and it's like, it's on air, off air, it don't matter. So the way you handled it, that was dope.
Well, I appreciate it. The other part,
because I know the other Smitty.
Yeah. You know, you really wanted to handle it.
Great fisticuffs.
You're gonna need a whole bunch of peroxide
and a lot of ice. Ice up, son, for real.
We have to take a break, and more than anything, we gotta pay some bills.
Mm-hmm. Need that check.
I love Cut to It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut to It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut to It.
Facebook?
Cut to It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com, where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. Cuttoitpodcast.com.
You know, Spice, it's just been fun, really, to see your development. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously into a comedian, just into your personality, allowing people to see you off the field. But we really want to just kind of dive into Spice Adams. Anthony Spice mm-hmm. Adams, like who you are, what do you stand for, how you became
your coming of age story.
Yeah, your coming of age story, how you became who you are, and the good and the bad and the ugly, the parts that people, you know, don't see. A lot of times these young folks today, the public today looks at athletes, at entertainers, and they see the championship parade, but they don't understand the grind and mm-mm. the process
no.
of the preseason, mm-mm. regular season, OTAs, mini camps, all of that stuff. The all of the days that you have failed, mm-hmm. you know, before Sunday. Sunday is the greatest moment in football.
Right.
But Monday through Saturday,
that's grind time.
Man, it is some BS. It ain't even grind time. It is some BS. Some of the things, how guys start, how guys don't start, what the coordinators do, don't do, all the plays that they put in during the week, and that they only call like 10 through the whole 2 hours of football. So, you know, just wanted to kind of go through that and really give you an opportunity, man, to share your story, who you are. If there's some things you think we miss, interrupt us, man. You know,
man.
We want to
know. Before we get into that, like how you were just saying, you didn't know what people were saying, if you were in your feelings or not, whatever. I just got in my feelings about what you just said, because it was a lot of times on Thursday, you could see the writing on the wall, man. Like when it comes to your reps and practice, you'd be like, dog, I feel like I don't even feel winded at all from this practice. Like, seems like I'm not in the game plan. Like, what's going on? So then Sunday roll around. You're not gonna dress today.
Yeah.
I'm already dressed. I did my warm up, all that. Everybody can't be like Julius Peppers and get here 30 minutes before and say, hey, let's go, man. Don't do that. I gotta do yoga, Pilates, jump rope. I gotta run in circles like hours before the game and get warmed up, man. I had my game pants on when I woke up. Like, I'm ready. Nah, we gonna sit you out this game. Like, bruh. But anyways, about me. Ultimately, dog, I just want to be the best dad ever. That's it, bro. Like, I value being a husband. I value being a dad, because I didn't have that growing up. I didn't see, you know, my dad and my life. My dad went to prison when I was like 4. So it was just me and my moms. And so I never really saw the dynamic of marriage unless it was, you know, my grandma and my granddad. But other than that, I didn't see it living in my house. So it was all, and I was the only child. So I didn't have brothers and sisters. Oh. So growing up, I always was like, man, I'm gonna be a good husband and I'm gonna be a good dad and I'm gonna have a lot of kids. So now I got 4 kids. Going on 15 years of marriage, my wife and I. And so that's what I value the most. Now, as far as the entertainment side, like I said, I was the only child. So I grew up always wanting to entertain folks. So they'll want to come back over to the house. Hey, so what happened?
you you on my show, bro. Let me.
I don't do one word answers, man. I know how the interviews be when you be like, "Hey, man, so what inspired you to start rapping?"
Yeah. You asked him an open-ended question. He went.
I'm media trained too, Spice. But let me do my thing. Play.
All time, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you know, I know you ain't used to it. Hey, sit back in this first class and let me.
Let me get the steak.
You got it. How would you like it cooked?
Medium plus.
Ooh, medium okay. Plus. I've never heard of that. Right. But continue.
Medium plus. You ain't never heard of that, baby. I'm a different type of classy.
Yeah, you're lying.
Medium plus. That's,
hey, you know, some folk get it medium well or, you know, sear rare, come out. You know, it still come out.
Yeah, yeah, that's disgusting.
Hey,
medium plus. Well,
he want his. That thing dead. Like,
he I like a leather jacket.
Leather jacket. Wow.
Now, Spice, where are you from and the place you call home? What's your hometown?
I'm from the D, man. Detroit.
313. Oh, in the D.
Yeah, man. 313, man. East side. The East side. Martin Luther King High School, dog.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
How did growing up there impact the way you see the world today?
Man, I knew that I had to work for everything because everybody that I knew either worked at Chrysler, Ford, a GM, or some type of factory or something like that, man. And, you know, it was nothing handed to you in Detroit. And in the neighborhood I lived in, man, it was a lot of gang violence, shooting, drugs, and gambling and all that type of stuff, man. But once my mom, you know, was like, look, you're going to play some football, then she kind of sheltered me away from that stuff. And I got a love for football because I never really wanted to play. Like, we grew up Detroit Pistons, bad boys. So it was all about Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, John Sally, Dennis Rodman, like all those guys. So all we did in my neighborhood was hoop. Then my mom was like, nah, you gonna play some football. And I was like, what?
It got real.
What is that? Like, I didn't want to play. It was boring to me. Like, it's 4 hours. It's either you catch the ball or you don't. Like, who want to sit there and watch that for 4 hours? But then when I started playing, I was like, yo, this is dope. Like, you could physically beat a man and ain't got to worry about the police and not like that. Like, oh, sign me up. Like, let's do it. Like, man, that was, I loved it. So since my mom made me play, man, I've been playing, you know, 18 years since then, man. It's been dope.
How did you get Spice as your nickname?
Oh, you're going to love this, bro. So at Martin Luther King High School in Detroit, it was about 7 Anthonys on the team. So they saw I was somewhat good because I started out on JV. Then I got moved up to varsity. But then they was like, dog, this young kid, he got something. And they was like, man, we can't call you Anthony, dog. We got to give you a nickname. And so I had these braids in my hair that looked like the rapper Spice One. So they was like, we going to call you Spice. And I was like, nah, you going to call me Anthony. Like, nah.
You wasn't feeling it?
Nah, I wasn't the giggity gangster, man. I wasn't Spice One. Like, nah, I'm not Spice One. That's my man. I love all Spice One albums, but dog, no, man. Call me Anthony. But I'm like a freshman. You know what I'm saying? So it's like about 1,000 times somebody called me Spice. I was just like, what, man? What you want, dog? So yeah, I became Spice, the main ingredient, man. And it just stuck.
You never have say-so to your own nickname.
Nah, you don't, man. Sometimes, like, one of my other nicknames is Fatback Grease Meat.
What?
Exactly.
Spice.
I'm calling it.
You got a full name, dog. Fatback Grease Meat.
Why Grease Meat?
It's like, if somebody called me Fatback, I'd turn around. Like, what's up? Like, this, you know, that's one of them names that you, like, can't get right. Yeah. We used to have a dude on the team that can't get right.
Every team got a kick right.
He would go
and
left.
And we all know who that is.
Oh, God. That,
as soon as you say it, you'd be like, oh, Jermichael.
There's several names that go to my can't get right. Oh, you talking about the Panthers? Which year?
You know what I'm saying?
Bro, it's a can't get right on every team.
It is.
Every
that's,
year.
That's what makes it funny.
You'd be like, yeah. Oh, he can't get right.
Yeah. But look, Steve, did y'all have a dead man walking? We had a dude on the team named.
You see, I was clueless. Damn, we're walking.
We all got sprints. We all got these runs we got to do. Everybody. Boom. Boom. Dead man walking. It's like this. He literally looks like a dead man walking. So the coach was like, yo, dead man walking. You might want to move out the way. We run the sprints.
Oh, and you man, always got to do this out of shape.
Yeah.
Why they always lying? No. It's either O-line or D-line.
I ain't really experienced
that. Hey, man, listen, don't do that.
He took offense.
Don't go off on the offense. See, I feel like how you felt when Michael Irvin said something.
I said it was a lineman. I didn't say which. I said he's either.
It don't matter. You can put defense or I'm fill in the blank. I felt detached.
I apologize.
Because some of y'all, it'll be some running backs who just can't do it. Especially like when it comes to long distance. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All day. Y'all wide receivers. Y'all sprinters, man.
Yeah, some of us.
I ain't even gonna ask a follow-up question on that because I don't want you.
Well, it's not every fast guy can sprint like that's consistently. True. So you know you have to have gassers. Like there's some guys that they can run, but they like a cheap piece of gum. Like gone 10 seconds. Yeah, you know it just don't
big
have
big league chew.
Yes, big league chew.
Just what you used to run in high school, Steve.
I ran 100 meter hurdles, 330 hurdles, and
I knew you was gonna say hurdles, dog. Just from the way you played, dog, I knew you was gonna say hurdles.
Really? Tell me why,
dog. I know, like the way you go up and get the rock is either I had to be like long jump, or I mean high jump, or like some type of hurdles or something, some type of bounding.
Yes. Look at you.
Yeah.
Them bunnies.
I'm really into like skill positions, bro. Mm. Especially running backs, because running backs are the most disrespected athlete as far as when it comes to like money and contracts and stuff like that, and how it's like a revolving door with them. Like, there's no reason why Adrian Peterson should have played for 5-6 teams. He should not be a journeyman. Like, you got to get that man the respect he deserved, bro. Like, for real, dog. Like, that man can still go. I mean, it happens all the time. That's just like, I'm a 4-3 guy. Mm. Like, I'm skinning and grinning. I'm shooting the gap.
Yeah.
No responsibility. Just penetrate. Mm-hmm.
Just go, dog. Go. Yep. Don't think. Just go. I love not to think. Like, I got A gap. Boom. Let's do it.
That's what I know I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
So, Mike Nolan came over to San Francisco with that 3-4. I'm like, bruh, I gotta get all the way to 330. I can't move. Like 330. No, man. They want me to be 2-gapping and go let the linebacker go make the play. I can go make it. Let me go do it. Like, nah, man. It's different, bro. It's different. And then a lot of times, it ain't got nothing to do with your ability. Nothing to do with your knowledge of the game. Nothing to do with your effort. None of that. It's just like sometimes coaches come in, they like who they like.
And what also happens, too, is you have coaches who believe their system is more valuable than the players.
Yes.
Smitty has shared his mentality, how he approached the game. Spice, how did you approach the game? What was your mentality playing on the defensive line? How did you approach the game?
I just wanted to prepare like crazy, man. I used to watch a lot of film. I used to watch guys' home game. I used to see how they played away, how they played with the crowd noise, all that type of stuff. And I had a lot of fun, man. And that's how I kind of approach the game too, man. It's like in the locker room, I never like wanted it to be quiet or anything like that, man. So I always like crack a joke. I'd be in there dancing. I'd be doing like all type of stuff. So, but the thing with the Bears is just like, it was a bunch of people on the team who was the same way. So it was like a bunch of big kids. So when I got there, I was like, I'm in my element, dog. Like it was more than just one class clown. You got Peanut Tillman, you got Lance Briggs, you got Tommy Harris, Adewale Ogunleye, Alex Brown. It's so many characters, bro. So I was just like, I was in my element, bro. But it's kind of like what Steve said, like people just see they just see you on the field on Sunday. They don't see what happens Monday through Saturday when you just, you know, training and you're in a weight room. And you're going all out, and then you're watching film, and then you're going out on the practice field, working on all your little moves and all your techniques and all that type of stuff. But, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world, man. I'd do it all over again, man, if I had to. I wish I could still play right now, man. I'd give you 30 good plays. Might not be in a row. It'd be some conditions on it. Like, if I got to sub in, I want to sub in where the ball is closer to the hash that's by the bench. Because, like, running that extra 15 yards is going to, you know, I might get booty locked. You know, you're doing them shuttles and the glutes just don't be firing like how they're supposed to. So, you know what I'm saying? I play right now, but there's going to be some conditions on that thing.
I think it's about that time. Just take a little breather.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from CutToItPodcast.com, where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
You refer to yourself as a class clown almost. How do you balance that out with those guys who were the nasty ones, cats like Smitty or cats like now an Aaron Donald? How does that balance out?
You got to know when to, you know, turn that on and when to turn it off. Because some people, they don't get down with all of that. And you know what I'm saying? You got to make the adjustment. But it's all a part of being a leader, like knowing your team. Like, I can't talk to Smitty the same way I'll talk to Moose and Muhammad. Like, Moose and Muhammad is just like he's real cool, but he's just like real serious. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't talk to Moose the same way I would talk to Steve. And you got to understand and know your teammates, like off the field too. Like, what's going to make them tick? Like, what's going to make, like, Steve crazy? Like, yeah, it don't really take that much for Steve.
I mean, give me a Steve Smith story, Spice.
Uh-oh.
I'd rather not.
No.
I'd rather not, guys. I'm gonna get upset all over again, man.
Don't be Janae Aiko. Don't be triggered. Like, go ahead and give us a great Steve Smith story.
He already triggered. Yeah.
Listen, man, you can't do nothing to Steve unless he wants you to.
Okay.
Like, you can't touch the dude, man. And I can't talk to my DBs, bro, because I can't do what they do.
Okay.
But it's a lot of times when we playing Steve and you like, bro, can somebody at least stop him from talking?
Like, repeat that. You went out. We couldn't hear you.
Oh, like, somebody needs to stop Steve Smith. At least stop him from talking. Stop him, period, from talking, catching the ball, running a route. Just stop him, bro. Like, it is so frustrating. It's like trying to catch like a chicken or something like that. You know? He's just going every which way, man, and you can't. It's like, by the time you catch him, it's already first down.
Rick and Havoc in the chicken coop.
Oh, man. I mean, it's just like every time you play him, bro, you already know what to expect. And I'm like, I play defensive line. And I know about, like, the impact of Steve Smith. So it's like, man, I got to get to the quarterback. So then we won't have to hear about Steve Smith. But I only play first and second down. You know? Run stopper, it's like, oh, man, I hope this is passed, but I know I'm going to get double to triple team this game. So it's like, I really have no impact on the game. But playing against Steve is a headache, bro. And it's like every time. So that's every story when it comes to Steve Smith. Every story.
You know, let me ask you this. You were considered – an undersized D tackle.
Yeah.
Now when you look at the game today, undersized D tackles are going in the first round.
Yeah, they had a premium now.
They getting paid $100 million with $75 million guaranteed.
I had the wrong timing.
Should have waited to cash that check.
God, dog, man. I should have said, nah, ma, let me cook some more, mama. These dudes is some cyborgs, man. Like, how are you a defensive tackle and you got abs? Like, what? Like, how? These dudes is like makeup players now, man. Faster, stronger, like muscles and all. Like, what? Like, I'm used to seeing Ted Washington, Big Ted, 6'7". About 400 pounds, but if you look on the magazine, it say he 320. But everybody know Big Ted is pushing 400 Monday through Saturday.
But when he listed, it's 330.
Yeah, it's gonna say 330. But nowadays, man, like, Aaron Donald is like ridiculous, dog. He's like weird science. Like, all right, we're going to make them fast this way. We're going to make them be able to play every position on the defensive line. Like, JJ Watt, like all these different guys, man. It is crazy, dog. Just like how much bigger and faster and stronger everybody is. You see the wide receivers running 4.2s, like it's nothing, like electric. Yeah. Like how are you running a 4.2 with electricity?
Yeah.
What are you running handheld? Like, I mean, it is unbelievable. I love to see it though, man, because it's just like, dude, I can't do it. So I'm just like, I'm at a position now where I'm a fan. Like I understand like what it takes to get to that point, but at the same time, I'm just like, yo, do you know like what you doing right now? Like if I had a chance to talk to him, be like, dog, you killing it right now. Like I know they can't see it right now because they in the moment, but these young players out here, man, they I'm really impressed with them, man.
I did a Zoom call the other day, and one of the questions for one of the guys coming out into the draft, he said, what do you do about your brand? I think that's a great question. I said, well, you know, obviously your brand is whatever it is and what you desire to be. But if you can't play ball,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter about your brand.
Yeah.
And what I find interesting in that question and the statement is you're on your way into the league and you're thinking about your brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
I'm confused about, you know, and I guess that's where it comes off where I'm a hater. Fuck your brand.
That's real talk.
I love it.
Take us through your journey of becoming Spice Adams, the internet, YouTube,
influencer, the influencer, comedian,
because you've had a lot of success. It almost seems people know you more as Spice Adams,
the
comedian, and not Spice Adams who actually play football.
That is so dope to me, dog. Like, I love that. Like, people think when I put on Instagram and Twitter, me and the 49ers uniform or in a Chicago Bear uniform, they think it's Photoshop. I'm like, nah, bro. Like, I did 9 years, bro. I played 9 years in the league, dog. So it's like a testament to my work, bro. And I'm like, at this point right now, man, I just call myself an entertainer, man. And it's dope, man, because I did this, I do this show on ABC called The Great American Baking Show, and we film it out in the UK. And when I'm out there,
Oh, humble brag.
But yeah. I'm down there and people are like, yo, you the dude from Instagram, you the Spice Adams dude, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'll be like, man, where you from? Dudes be like, oh, I'm from Ghana. I'm like, what? And you'd see my videos out in Ghana, dog. Like, so it's dope, man. It's dope. And the social media stuff kind of just happened from, you know, just me just putting myself out there. Same way we put ourselves out there every week on the football field, like for everybody to say, oh man, you could have did this better, you could have did that better, or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like I'm starting, dude. Like I got the respect from everybody in my locker room. I got respect from people I'm playing against. All right. So like, I'm not just out here just to be out here. Like, dog, I work hard to be out here. And so, you know, as far as, you know, me being on Ballers and with The Rock and, doing some, I did an episode on Detroiters on Comedy Central, man. So it's been dope, man. It's been dope. And it's just like, you know, with football, man, you just keep getting the reps and keep putting yourself out there, man. And, you know, and so long, man, you know, good things start happening for you, man.
Our last segment, Spice, is called The Deep Three. These are questions that we ask just to go at a deeper level, who you are as a football player, past who you are as a social media influencer. So, Smitty, go ahead and give them the first one.
Hey, what's the biggest misconception people have about Spice Adams?
It's that I'm just a football player. Like, and that's it. That's kind of why I went back to school to get my executive MBA, because I figured, like, I was going to go into some type of business, and I wanted people to take me serious. I didn't want to just be like, oh, you know, I played for the Bears. I played for San Francisco, so, you know, give me a shot, because I'm, you know, I'm an NFL dude. Like, nah, like, respect me as a businessman, you know what I'm saying? Respect my authority.
Yeah. When's the last time you really challenged yourself?
Today. Every day. Because, listen, I've lost 125 pounds.
Oh, man, congratulations.
Congratulations.
And that is by far the hardest thing I ever had to do. And I've been in training camps, you know, all type of stuff, bro. This is a everyday battle, dog, to say, I'm not going to have no cookies today. I'm not going to have no chips today. I'm not going to have no Kool-Aid. Like, dog, it is an ongoing battle every day. And I work out just like now to keep the weight off. Like, the weight is off. And, you know, I had to give away all my suits. All my suits, man. All my plaid Steve Smith suits, man. I had to give them all the Goodwill, man. But yeah, it's a battle, bro, for real. I used to think when people say it's a lifestyle, I was like, man, that's just something skinny people be saying. But like, it really is, dog. It really is.
Why is making people laugh so meaningful to you?
I like people around me to have a good time. Like, period, dog. Like, I don't like people to be around. I remember a lot of times where I'd be in a locker room and it'd just be quiet. And I'm just like, dog, like, this is a kid's game, man. We get paid a king's ransom to play a kid's game. And I'm just like, dog, is this a game or this a funeral, dog? Like, come on. Like, I would literally say that verbatim. Like, is this a funeral or is this a football game? Like, it's too quiet in here, dog. Like, look at this dude hair. Like, I just crack a joke, like, something. Like, let's break the ice. Dog, I can't be next to you, dog, if you just got, like, bad energy, dog. Like, you just too quiet, something. Like, I'm going to crack a joke in a huddle. I'm going to say something during the game. Like, something, bro. Like, let's like, it's nothing better than doing your job and having fun while you're doing it. Yeah. Like, it's the best in the world, dog. Like, we used to play games in the locker room. We used to play basketball. We used to play baseball. It was nothing if you went to our locker room and you hear this on the door. Like, that's us playing baseball. That's the baseball hitting the door because somebody just got struck out. And so it's just like it becomes a culture in a locker room, dog, that you can't get nowhere else, dog. It's the best, bro.
What do you think about class clowns in the locker room? Did you like those teammates who were the class clowns?
Oh, you needed one.
Who were some of those class clowns? What do you remember about it?
I mean, you just remember who they were. We had a guy, Lewis, D lineman from LSU. He's actually a realtor back in Louisiana. He was always doing fun stuff. They broke up the day.
Yeah.
Rod Smart, he hate me. Gerard Cooper, you looked forward to them doing things. Jordan Gross is a class clown.
Really?
Oh, Jordan do a prank. He's funny. Uh-huh. You know, they gave things. They gave the locker room at times meaning, right? It helped us at times when difficult moments where you have someone that can just say, hey, guys, not that serious.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think you got to be able to laugh at yourself and other people.
It's the key to the soul, man.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Got to be able to keep that laughter in. Yep. I mean, and I would even say you're a clown at times. Even absolutely. Sometimes when we're behind the scenes, whether it's in the office or whether we're recording this podcast, whatever we're doing, like, people don't always see. I think you have more of a clown side maybe than you lead on to.
Oh, absolutely. I do. I just there is just part of me. There are areas. A part of me, I just don't reveal to people. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with a little bit of the way I grew up and some of the wounds that I have. But I also try extremely hard to be a little bit guarded and allow that funniness or me be a class clown to really kind of be private for my close circle. Mm-hmm. And the people who don't really know, they think I'm always serious.
Yeah.
And, well, I'm not always serious. Sometimes, you know, I play around too much.
It's big jokes, yeah.
Yes. It's like, all right, bro, let's get serious. And I'm kind of like, no, I don't want to be serious today. Yeah.
So, you gotta have that balance.
Yeah.
Everything can't be Mr. Serious all the time.
I mean, I would admit I am sometimes too serious, but I'm also trying to let it go. And it was really cool is in my reading today, it said, for the person who has learned to let go and let be, nothing can ever get in the way again. That's really interesting to me because it says that we have to learn how to let go. It doesn't
It doesn't come naturally until we learn how. Letting go is a skill that comes when you see others do it and when we practice it. Mm-hmm. It comes when we accept we are not completely separate individuals, but part of a larger whole. Then we must turn most of our problems over to our Lord and Savior, or let others deal with issues that don't belong to us. Most of us work hard to gain control of our lives and to manage the circumstances we face. Becoming selective about what we try to control is a very adult skill that takes time and much life experience. When we can finally let go and stand aside from the things we do not need to manage, we get the payoff of liberation and peace of mind. Our burden is lightened, and the only things that we can handle are left. Today, I will take every opportunity to practice the skill of letting go and letting be. So that's what I'm trying to work on.
I felt appropriate after that interview that we had too.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent. And most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It. Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr. That is me. Is a production of Cut to It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut to It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut to It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Labreck, production manager Sarah Pollock, theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
You know it's on.
It's on.